ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Krishna, Bhagavati, personality of Godhead, Bhakti Yoga, direct devotional service, Yadaha, wherein Bhavet may result in. Translation: for those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of the Lord. Translation responsibly: for those who are wandering in the material universe, there is no more auspicious means of deliverance than what is aimed at in the direct devotional service of Lord Krishna. For a quote by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. As will be clarified in the next verse, devotional service or direct bhakti yoga is the only absolute and auspicious means of deliverance from the grip of material existence. There are many indirect methods for deliverance from the clutches of material existence, but none of them is as easy and auspicious as bhakti yoga. The means of jnana and yoga and other allied disciplines are not independent in delivering a performer. Such activities help one to reach the stage of bhakti yoga after many, many years. In the Bhagavad Gita 12.5, it is said that those who are attached to the impersonal feature of the Absolute are liable to many troubles in the pursuit of their desired goal. And the empirical philosophers, searching after the Absolute Truth, realize the importance of Vasudeva realization as all in all after many, many births. As far as yoga systems are concerned, it is also said in the Bhagavad Gita 6.47 that amongst the mystics who pursue the Absolute Truth, the one who is always engaged in the service of the Lord is the greatest of all. And the last instruction in the Bhagavad Gita 18.66 advises fully surrendering unto the Lord, leaving aside all other engagements or different processes for self-realization and liberation from material bondage. And the purport of all Vedic literatures is to induce one to accept the transcendental loving service of the Lord by all means. As already explained in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, either direct bhakti yoga or the means which ultimately culminate in bhakti yoga without any danger of fruitive activity constitutes the highest form of religion. Everything else is simply a waste of time for the performer. Srila Sridhara Swami and all other acharyas like Jiva Goswami agree that bhakti yoga is not only easy, simple, natural and free from trouble, but is the only source of happiness for the human being. Om jnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurudamena tasmayu shri gurave namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, here in this verse, it's being mentioned that there's no other better or auspicious means of deliverance than Bhakti Yoga, or that which is aimed directly at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord Krishna. And also being mentioned that the living entities are wandering in this material world, and for those who want to come out of it, there is no other better means than Bhakti Yoga. And we'll look at that, why Bhakti Yoga is better. So here Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this verse after explaining about the Virat Rupa. So the Virat Rupa is for those who are very materialistic. They cannot conceive of the personal form of the Lord. So in order to help them to gain liberation, he recommended meditation on the universal form. Then he went a step higher, or much higher. He said meditation on the Super Soul, or the Vishvatma, the Super Soul in the heart of everyone. So meditation on the Supreme Lord in the heart. So after then he described and how to achieve that, how to sit in yoga, do pranayama, all this, and raise your life air to the top of your skull. And then when one is Krishna conscious, or when one knows the Super Soul, one can go back to God. And then here is mentioning that actually the best means is to render direct devotional service to Lord Krishna. So in yoga, yoga is very, very broad. So there's not only one kind of yoga, but there's so many kinds of yoga. But of all the types of yoga, the best is Bhakti Yoga, because everything culminates in Bhakti Yoga. Every other yoga system is meant to culminate in Bhakti. So here it's been mentioned that for those who are wandering in the material universe. So the material universe is full of jivas. The material universe is created to facilitate the jiva's sojourn in the material world. So the jivas are here because of a rebellious attitude against Krishna. So we are put in this material world, and this material world is very, very vast. It's very big. So every universe is like an egg. It's like an anda. So it's called Brahmanda. Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagyavan, Jeev. So this universe is like an egg, and this universe is 4 billion miles in diameter. So it's very, very vast, and this is one of the many universes, and this happens to be a small one. So every universe is a Brahma. Brahma has a few heads. Our Brahma has 4 heads. So he is the engineer of this universe, and he has created this. So some universes are even bigger, and Brahma has many heads. So within every universe, there are countless living entities. As we can see, there's 7 billion of us on this planet. But we are not the only living entity. There are others also. There's ants, there's aquatics, there's plants. In all of these species, there's the spirit soul within them. So there's the jiva within all these species. So in this way, we can understand that there are countless living entities, and all of them are wandering in this material world. So we all have the propensity to wander. People have the propensity to travel. So traveling is very big, especially today, in this day and age. People like to travel, and because means of transport has advanced so much in communication, it's possible to travel long distances in a short period of time. So people travel all over the world, and especially now holiday season is coming, so people are even traveling more during December, January. So everyone is traveling in this world, but the reason why everyone is traveling is basically to enjoy. But people are doing more or less the same thing everywhere, as my spiritual master points out. That what does traveling mean? Traveling means doing the same things wherever you go, in a different cultural setting. So we all of us do four things. We eat, we sleep, we mate, and we defend. So the people are doing these four things in different places, in different cultural settings. But the crux of that is just the same. So in other words, the living entities are wandering in this material world to enjoy or to gratify their senses to the utmost limit. And everyone is wandering in this material world. So the type of wandering, of course, described in Bhagavatam is not only traveling from one place to another on this planet, but the type of wandering being mentioned in the Bhagavatam is wandering from one species to another. So we are hopping from one body to another. In this way, we are traveling the entire universe. So this is Brahmanda, Brahmite, Kona, Bhagyavan, Jeev. So the Jeev or the Jeeva is wandering from one planet to another in different bodies, in different environments, in different species of life, tasting different kinds of enjoyment. So sometimes we are a dog, then we are a cat, an ant, an insect, or we are a fish, a human being. In this way we are wandering everywhere. In one sense we don't need to travel because we have traveled enough. We have traveled a lot. We have been in the ocean. People are jumping, you know, in the oceans, doing scuba diving or snorkeling. But we have actually done all of that in different species. Thing is, we don't remember that because of forgetfulness. So when we accept a new body, we forget. And we even forget incidents in this life. So when we accept a new body, we forget all about our previous bodies. But the fact of the matter is, we have traveled in different species, tasting different kinds of enjoyment. So the human form of life is not meant for traveling. Of course, even in bhakti we can travel, but the nature of traveling is different. So the purpose of this human body is to become Krishna conscious. That's the whole purpose of it. So the purpose is to realize who we are, and to ultimately realize that we are a servant of God. So let's look at this wandering a little bit more. So the living entities are wandering in this material world mainly because of the mind. So the mind is causing the jiva to wander from one body to another. And this was told by Vasudev to Kamsa. So we know the pastime, how Lord Krishna advented on this planet. So Devaki was married to Vasudev, and she was going to Vasudev's home after her marriage, and Kamsa was her brother. So he, to show respect to her and to honor her, he took the reins of the chariot. So he was driving the chariot, and they were heading towards Vasudev's home. And Devaki's father gave a huge dowry, you know, like 800 elephants covered with gold and thousands of chariots and horses and 200 maidservants, and it was a big dowry given out of affection for the daughter. It wasn't mandatory, but it was out of affection. So anyway, they were going, and then suddenly from the sky there was this omen. The eighth son of Devaki said, "You rascal Kamsa, the eighth son of Devaki will be the cause of your death." So then Kamsa, because he was a demon, so demonic people are always concerned about their own happiness. That's what they are. Though externally they might look very nice, or superficially the dealings might be nice, but it all boils down to, you know, what's good for me. And if someone comes in the way of what's good for me, then they are my enemy. So Kamsa heard this eighth child of Devaki will be the cause of your death. So immediately, with his left hand, he held Devaki's hair, and in his right hand, he took out his sword, and he was about to kill her in front of everyone. in front of everyone, he was about to slaughter her, just like an animal. And there are like, 800 elephants, and there must be elephant carriers, and there's so many other people there. And there's Vasudev. And so then Vasudev thought, this is so heinous and barbaric. So he wanted to save Devaki, and Vasudev is a very sober personality. So he thought of ways to save Devaki. So he said, look, Devaki is your sister. How can, you're, first he said, he used Sama and Veda. Sama means to pacify someone, and Veda means to instill fear. So there's different ways of, what's it, Sam, Bheds? Sam, Dam, Danda, Bheds. So there's different ways of, if you want to, what's the word? Sorry? Yeah. Pacify. If you have different ways to pacify or achieve your means. So one is Sam. Sam means you pacify them. And Dam means you give them charity, give them gifts. Then Bhed means fear. You use fear. And then last is Danda. You hit the stick. If nothing works, then war, in other words. So Vasudev first tried Sam. He tried to pacify him, and he told Kamsa that he's such a great personality, he praised him. You're the best of the Bhoja dynasty, and you're such a heroic person, you're very magnanimous. And he said, this is your sister, and she's a woman. No one can kill a woman, a brahmana, an old man, and a child. So these people, they need protection. So he said, she's a woman, she's a sister, and it's a marriage day, You're going to kill her on the marriage day? But he used these arguments, but it didn't work. And then he also used the argument of, he said, look, we all accept a material body, and the material body is going to die. So whether today or tomorrow, it's going to die anyway. And if you kill her, this will be a sinful activity, and that will be the cause of your downfall in your next body. And then Vasudev explained to him about the nature of the mind. So he said that the mind is the cause of changing bodies in this material world. So I'll just read to you that verse. So there Kamsa told, Vasudeva told Kamsa that having experienced the situation by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates and speculates about that situation, and thus one surrenders to it, not considering his present body. Similarly, by mental adjustments, one dreams at night of living under different circumstances, in different bodies, and forgets his actual position. Under the same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another. Tatha Dehanta Pratya. So Vasudeva was explaining to Kamsa that contemplating on different situations, material situations, leads to very strong impressions in the mind, and then that eventually leads to another body. And he explained that we give up one body, when our next body is ready, we give up the present body. Just like when we are walking, when we put our next step, then we release our previous step. So we walk like this. Or like he gave the example of a caterpillar. When it goes from one leaf to another, so it will first put its feet on the next leaf, then it will release its feet from the previous one. So in this way it will transfer itself. So the mind is the cause of our changing bodies. So all this transmigration takes place because of the mind. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Yamyam Vapi Smaram Bhavam Tejati Ante Kalevanam Tam Tam Evaiti Kauntaya Saratad Bhava Bhavita. That whatever state of whatever consciousness one is at the time of death, one gets a certain kind of body. So different actions we are performing throughout our life, whatever we see, whatever we taste, whatever we hear, this forms samskaras in our mind. This creates deep impressions. And based on these impressions, we get another body. And we can experience that when we are sleeping. We actually experience this every day. So when we go to bed, we forget our present body. So death means to forget your body. That's what death means. So death means to quit the body, but also means to forget the body. So every night, in that sense, we are dying. So when we sleep, we die. We forget our body. Then we begin to dream. So in a dream, we have a different kind of body. Another body, we're in a different situation. And whatever we have experienced during the day, or during the week, or the month, or years, or even previous lifetimes, all those impressions give rise to different circumstances and situations. So we see different things, and the mind puts everything together. So we could, Narada Muni gives the example of one could see a golden mountain. One has seen gold, one has seen a mountain. So then it becomes a golden mountain. So in this way, we experience different situations. We experience different bodies at night. So when we wake up, then we forget the dream body. And then we identify with our present body. So in this way, we are changing bodies every day. We can see that it's happening every day. And that happens when we die. So when this body is useless and we give it up, and then we get another body according to the impressions of a mind. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, it's very important to absorb the mind in Krishna's service. So the mind, when it is uncontrolled, it is the cause of great, it is our greatest enemy, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. And when the mind is controlled, it's our greatest friend. So spiritual life is all about, in one sense, a lot about controlling the mind. Savaya mana Krishna padara vindayor. Man mana bhava mad bhakta madhyaji mam namaskuru. So Krishna says, man mana, focus your mind on me, meditate on me, become my devotee, offer your homages unto me, surrender unto me. In this way you will come to me, so Krishna says. So it's very important to fix our mind on Krishna. So what does it mean fixing the mind on Krishna? That means fixing the mind on Krishna's service. So when our mind is fixed on Krishna's service, then the mind is controlled. Otherwise, it's impossible to control the mind. Because Arjuna, he explained the nature of the mind. So the mind, he said, it is chanchalam. So the function of the mind is to accept sankalpa and vikalpa. It is to accept something and reject something. And this is what is going on all day and night, if we see. If we just try to analyze the workings of the mind, we'll see 1 minute it's accepting a thought, after some time it will reject that race, same thought, and accept another thought. For example, 1 minute, I should have long hair. Then after some time, no, short hair is better. Or I like this fashion, but after some time, no, I like that fashion. In this way, our mind is accepting and rejecting different kind ideas and thoughts. And we can especially see that when we are chanting Hare Krishna. So that's when the mind, the nature of the mind becomes very, very evident. We can see that it's just jumping from one thought to another like a monkey. Like a monkey is very wild. Monkey is out of control. So a mind is compared to a monkey. But the mind has to be controlled. Otherwise our life is being ruled by a mind. So there's the Atma, there's the Buddhi, then there's the mind. So the mind is supposed to be under the control of the intelligence, and the intelligence is supposed to be under the control of the mind. That's the order. So for a lot of people, the mind rules the intelligence. So the intelligence directs the needs of the mind. It figures out the needs of the mind. But if we are living our life based on the mental platform, then it's a very risky life. Then we are just doing whatever the winds, executing the winds of our mind. But the intelligence should kick in. So our intelligence has to be sharpened by association of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. So when we associate with our spiritual master, the devotees, and this, when we read the scriptures, that's how our intelligence becomes sharpened and very strong, and then our mind can be controlled. So even when we're practicing bhakti, our mind tells us so many things, you know, do this service, do that service, do this or do that, you know, go to another temple, or do this, do that. This mind tells so many things. Or, no, I don't want to practice Krishna consciousness. So, but that's the mind. And if we surrender to the whims of the mind, we lose out, we lose in bhakti. So we have to surrender to Krishna. So when we surrender to Krishna, then the mind can be controlled. So Ambarish Maharaj is the perfect example. Savaya Mana Krishna Padara Vindayo. So Ambarish Maharaj, he put all his energy into serving the Lord in different ways. So he engaged all his senses in serving Krishna. So with his mind, the function of the mind is to think, feel and will. So with the mind, he was always thinking about Krishna. So we can also use our mind to think about Krishna, rather than thinking about so many useless things. We can think about what we have read in the scriptures. We can think about what we have heard in class. We can think about our service. So when we think about our service, how to do our service better, our mind is engaged at Krishna's lotus feet. And then we can engage our senses in different kinds of activities or different services. So Ambarish Maharaj was using his hands to clean the temple, using his legs to walk to the temple. He was using his eyes to see the form of the Lord. He was using his nose to smell the flowers offered to the Lord. In this way, he's using his tongue to eat prasadam. In this way, the senses can be controlled. But the senses have to be engaged in Krishna conscious activities. So sarva bhadi nirmuktam tat paratvina nirmalam hrishikena hrishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchate. So Krishna is Rishikesh, he is the master of the mind and the senses. Hrishikena, Hrishikesha, Hrishikena, Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So when we engage in devotional service, bhakti, two things happen. So one becomes free from all kinds of upadhis. One becomes free from all kinds of material designations. And the mind and the senses are controlled. So in this way, the living entities are wandering. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Paye Bhakti Lata Beach. But by only by the mercy of the Guru are the Jeevas delivered. So the Krishna Mahajan movement is about spreading Krishna's mercy. And here it's mentioned that bhakti is the best kind of spiritual practice. So there's different kinds of spiritual practices, and we can see that in this world there's different religions, there's different kinds of practices. If we look at it, at the crux of it, like Christianity, Islam, the crux of it is, you know, surrender to God. That's what it boils down to. And even in the Vedic tradition, there's different processes. So there's the process of karma, there's the process of jnana, there's the process of yoga, and there's the process of bhakti. So what is bhakti? So bhakti means that we rendering service to Krishna. That's what devotional service is. Or that's what bhakti is. So bhakti means to understand that we are the jivatma, we are the soul, and we are servant of God. And the goal of our life is to render selfless service to Him and without any interruptions. Savai bhamsam paro dharmo yato bhakti adhokshade. So the supreme occupation is to render pure devotional service unto the Lord without any motivations and without any interruptions. So all different processes are meant to bring one to that. As Prabhupada quotes here, Yoginam api sarvesham mad gatein antaratmanam. Shradavan yog bhajate mam same yuktatama mataha. That of all yogis, the one who always abides in me with full faith, who always thinks of me, he is the highest. So there, even there are other forms of processes, but the whole idea was to bring one eventually to the point of bhakti yoga, because not everyone can take to Krishna consciousness directly. Or not everyone wants to take to Krishna consciousness directly. Because Krishna consciousness directly means you are in face to face with Krishna all the time, meaning his service. And the very reason we are in this material world is to forget Krishna. So not everyone wants to take the bhakti yoga directly. So to encourage them, there's different kinds of processes to eventually bring them to the point of bhakti. That's the whole idea. So to gradually bring them to the process of bhakti. But in Kali Yuga, the other processes are not very practical. Because as Prabhupada mentions here, it takes many, many years to come to the stage of bhakti, or even many, many births. Bahunam, so what's that verse? Bahunam janmanam ante gyanaman man prapadyate. That after many, many lifetimes, many, many births and deaths, one comes to understand that who Vasudeva is. One comes to understand in truth the position of Vasudeva. So to come to bhakti yoga takes many, many lifetimes, or at least many, many years. So in Kali Yuga, our lifetime is very short, isn't it? Maximum we can live 100 years. Maximum. Most of us will live maybe, 70 years, 70, 80 years. If we are lucky, if we are not blown up in some terrorist attack, or, we don't meet an accident or something. So most of us will live around 70 years, 70, 80 years. And even in that 70, 80 years, so much of our time is spent at work. We have to work to make a living. And then we have to maintain the body. We have to cook, all these. The body takes so much time. So in Kali Yuga, the time is very less. And in our mind, we waste so much time. We watching television or different kinds of things. Or just dreaming. We are wasting time in the mind. So in Kali Yuga, time is short. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came and he gave the direct process of bhakti yoga. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna consciousness directly to the people who are most unqualified. So Prayana Upavisha Sabhya Kalavasmin Yuge Janaha Manda Sumanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hi Upadrutaha. So O learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men have but short lives, they're quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and above all, always disturbed. So that's the qualification of the residents of Kali Yuga. That people's minds are always disturbed, they're short-lived, they're quarrelsome, they quarrel over any small thing. So it's very difficult to practice the other forms of yoga processes, in which one has to. If one is performing yoga, you need a very, very fit body. And one has to go in the forest. And one has to live alone in the forest. So I was mentioning last time that going to the forest is one thing, but living alone is a totally different thing. People find it even hard to be alone in the city, get lonely. What to speak of going in a forest? So when people plan their travels, they don't want to go alone because it will be boring. So one has to live alone. And in Jnana Yoga, one has to cultivate knowledge of the scriptures. So one has to, it's very dry, one has to, read the scriptures without much positive engagement. And then use one's intelligence to understand that we are not the body, but we are the soul. And not get hung up in the rest of the fruits of the Vedas, the flowery words of the Vedas. And then yoga is also a problem, because one might perform yoga and one might get carried away with the results of yoga. So the results of yoga is a strong, healthy body, and one can get even siddhis by performing yoga. So sometimes people get carried away by that, all those siddhis. And first of all, it's hard to do it. It's very difficult to do it. So the best means in Kali Yuga is direct devotional service to the Supreme Lord. And that's very easy and auspicious. It's auspicious because everyone benefits from it. Everyone. So Bhakti Yuga is auspicious because anyone can do it and everyone can benefit from it. So we see in Bhakti Yuga, even a 2-year-old child, a 5-year-old child can perform Bhakti Yoga. They can come to Kirtan and dance and chant. They are engaging in devotional service. So we see even a child can make spiritual advancement. And who's that example of that Mataji who said Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead when she was very young? Saraswati, yeah. Shamsundar Prabhu's, Shamsundar's daughter? So, when Prabhupada was in the manor in London, so Saraswati was this young girl, I think 4 or 5 years old, and she would tell people, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. So she is doing devotional service. And she is not only doing devotional service, but she is preaching to her best capacity. That's what she can do. So we see even a child can perform devotional service. Whereas in the other processes, you have to be grown up, you know, you have to have some previous understanding, and you need a fit body, and you're more or less depending on your own strength. So whereas in Krishna consciousness, it's a lot dependent on the mercy of Krishna, and we have to engage in devotion service. So even a child can do it, and the process is very easy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made it extremely easy. Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. So in this Kali Yuga, the Supreme Lord has descended in the form of His name. So Prabhupada said, chant and be happy and your life will be sublime. Chant Hare Krishna and your life will be sublime. So in Kali Yuga, the process has been made very extremely easy by chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So that's all we need to do in Kali Yuga. Of course, we need to cultivate knowledge. We need to do other aspects of bhakti to support the chanting of the holy names. And that can be done by anyone. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in the Shikshashtakam, there are no hard and fast rules in chanting the holy names of the Lord. So this Maha Mantra can be chanted anywhere, at any time, by anyone. So that's the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we see that when we chant the holy names in the street, people who have no idea of bhakti, they are also chanting. Though they might be chanting, some might be chanting inimically, or some are making fun of us, but they're chanting at the end of the day. So they are making spiritual advancement. So in this way, everyone can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. And it's all auspicious also because everyone benefits from it. So when we serve Krishna, then everyone else is satisfied. Everyone else benefits in ways we cannot comprehend or see. So just like you water the root of the tree, all the branches and the leaves and the twigs are benefited. So when you put food in the stomach, all the bodily limbs are nourished. So in the same way, when we render devotional service to Krishna, when we serve Krishna, then everyone in this world is benefited. We might not be able to see that, but yes, they do get benefited. Because everyone is connected to Krishna. And the example of that is when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was going to the Vrindavan through the Jharikhand forest, he was chanting Hare Krishna, and the animals, they became devotees. The tiger and the elephants, they weren't quarreling, they weren't eating up each other, but they were chanting Hare Krishna. But that's an extreme example. But the point is, when we spread the holy names, then so many living entities benefit from that. So the plants and whoever hears the holy name, they advance spiritually. So it brings auspiciousness in society. And by performing bhakti yoga, we automatically develop good qualities. That's why also it's auspicious. Simply by, we don't have to endeavor to achieve good qualities, we automatically develop good qualities. Yes, yasti, what's that verse? Akinchana. Yeah, thank you. So by rendering devotional service, one develops the qualities of the devas or the demigods. So the Prabhupada gave the example that, you know, my disciples, he said, or the devotees, they chant Hare Krishna, do service, eat prasadam, and they can easily give up going to the cinemas, watching movies, you know, things which people do a lot and they can't give it up. You know, going to nightclubs, movies, you know, playing video games or whatever. They can easily give up those, smoking, drinking, they can easily give up those activities. Whereas people who are very, very learned in the material sense, but they cannot give up these activities. So we can see simply by performing devotional service, it's very auspicious. So I'll end here and ask if there are any questions. Stories. There's one story of a person, can't remember, somewhere in Europe, I think. So the devotees used to go on Harinam past his house on a regular basis. And he used to hate them. He didn't like the chanting Hare Krishna. And he really hated it. So he used to, you know, swear at them, call ill words. And not only that, he even used to throw stones at them. He used to throw stones at the devotees every time they would go past. And some of them would get hurt. But devotees were very tolerant. And they kept going and they used to give him prasadam. I think it was cookies. They used to give him cookies. He used to take the cookie and he used to eat it. He liked it. But still, every time, whenever they would go past, he would throw rocks at them. So this went on for some time, and after some time he stopped throwing rocks, but he was only swearing at them. He used to call them bad words, this and that. So that one went on for a while. They gave him prasadam. And then after some time he didn't throw rocks at them, but he just used to look at them in, you know, funny ways. Then after some time he thought this chanting of Hare Krishna not so bad after all. So he would appreciate it. Then after some time he joined the Harinam party and he was chanting. This is a true story. I can't remember the fine details of it. But there's so many examples like that, that when people hear the holy names, they actually get benefited a lot. Some of them might even become devotees, but they at least become appreciative. And not only when they hear that, whether they become appreciative or not, a lot of their karma is destroyed because they are chanting the holy names. And some of them might even be chanting in Nama Bhas. So there's three stages in chanting. There's Nama Prad, offensive, Nama Bhas, the clearing stage, and then Shuddha Nama. So you never know, sometimes someone might be chanting, making fun of us or even inimically. But if they don't commit those 10 offenses in that chanting, actually they destroy a lot of the karma, or all of the karma. So you don't know, you know, they can even destroy more karma than they can, sinful activities than they can perform. They can destroy the result of more sinful reactions. But most people, they are usually committing the 10 offenses, when even if they chant inimically or... But still they get a lot of benefit. Does anyone know any other stories on Harinam? Our Harinam crew, you know any stories from your experience? Actually, the face of human society can change if the holy names are spread all over the world. So for the majority of people, you know, majority of people won't become devotees. Very few people will become devotees. So for most people, for their spiritual advancement, if they hear the holy name or if they chant the holy name, that's their only hope. So, and you can even see a change in the if the holy names are spread, like Prabhupada said, I think it was Hyderabad, there was a drought over there. In Hyderabad there was a drought. So these people from this government agency, they contacted Prabhupada and they said, can you come here and do some relief work? When you give the, after your, Prabhupada was in Hyderabad, he said, when you give your lecture, ask everyone to give a donation to this relief fund. And even if you can send your men, this letter is there in, I think, SSR. He said, if you can also give some of your men so we can do some, you know, mundane welfare work, like that. So the Prabhupada wrote back, obviously he didn't want to give them money or anything. He said, actually, if all of you serve Krishna, you know, if your men join me in serving Krishna and chanting the holy names, you know, this drought will end. And then Prabhupada gave the example that the Indo-Pakistan war, I think it was in the 60s, that ended and India was victorious because Prabhupada said we were chanting Hare Krishna. So these are some effects which we cannot see, but they are taking place. So by the spreading of the holy names, It brings auspiciousness on the planet. And so many unfortunate things are also put off, or they don't have take place. And I think there was, even in Hyderabad, Prabhupada, that he actually demonstrated by chanting of Hare Krishna, it rained. And there's even a pastime of Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I think it was in Fiji, he was challenged that, you say by chanting Hare Krishna there will be rains. So they were challenged and they did Harinam Sankirtan for I think a day or two, and after that it rained. There wasn't any rain for a while. So it's a fact, we just need to have faith in it, in the holy names. That if we spread the holy names, there will be a change on the face of this planet. So all of us should go every Friday, there's Harinam, we should go there. The more the devotees, the better. It looks more attractive and there's more potency. Okay, anything else? And that's the activity Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself also engaged in. He was most learned and he was God, but he engaged in that activity, so we have to follow in his footsteps. You can ask Jai Jagannath, he'll tell you so many nectar stories, you just can't think of it right now. How so many people, they, dance and were drunk and this and that. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.